Ready? Great. Okay, thank you, ladies and gentlemen. I will now call this meeting to order. I shall now ask Mr. Steve Vaughn to act as the secretary of the meeting, and with the approval of the meeting, I hereby appoint Mr. Bill Zawada of CIBC Mellon, the corporation's registrar and transfer agent, to act as scrutineer of the meeting, to report on the number of shareholders present in person or represented by proxy, and the total number of shares represented in person or by proxy at this meeting, and to compute the votes on any poll taken and report the results to me. The secretary of the meeting has filed with me proof of the due mailing of the notice calling this meeting and the management proxy circular, as well as the other documentation relating thereto. Since all shareholders have received a copy of the notice, circular, and other documentation, I shall, with the approval of the meeting, dispense with the reading of the notice of the meeting.
May 3rd, 2013, be dispensed with.
May I have a seconder? It has been moved and seconded that the notice of the annual meeting of shareholders be dispensed with. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, I will put the motion to a vote. All in favor, please signify by raising your hands. All opposed, I declare the resolution carried. I shall now ask the scrutineer to present his report as to the shareholders present in person or represented by proxy, as well as with respect to shares abstained from voting on the election of directors and the appointment of auditors.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm pleased to report that there are two shareholders present in person holding 400 common shares. There are also 48 shareholders representing 28,747,312 common shares represented by proxy at this meeting, making the total number of common shares represented in person or by proxy at this meeting 28,747,712 common shares. This represents 73.9% of the 38,912,110 issued and outstanding common shares of the corporation. The total number of votes received by proxy required to be withheld from voting on matters to be brought before this meeting is 457,770 votes, which represents 1.59% of the total number of votes represented by proxy at this meeting. The following shares abstained from voting in favor of the election of management's nominees for directors of the corporation. For H. Michael Burns, 5,360 shares. For Richard B. Carty, 296,180 shares. For E.M. Blake Hutchison, 6,000 shares. For Duncan N.R. Jackman, 304,120 shares. For Clive P. Rowe, 10,940 shares. For Harold S. Stephen, 457,770 shares. For Eric Stevenson, 456,830 shares. For W. S. Vaughn, 1,600 shares. And for Greg D. White, 11,600 shares. Thank you.
In accordance with the corporation's bylaws, a quorum for this meeting is two shareholders personally present together with not less than 10% of the issued common shares of the company. The scrutineer's report has shown that there is a quorum of issued common shares represented in person or by proxy at the meeting, and accordingly, I declare the meeting has been regularly called and properly constituted for the transaction of business. I shall conduct all votes by a show of hands unless a shareholder or proxy holder demands a ballot on such a vote, in which case a ballot will be conducted. The minutes of the annual meeting of shareholders held on April 27, 2012 are available and can be read by the secretary unless there is a motion that the reading of the minutes of the said meeting be dispensed with and that the said minutes be taken as read and approved. Thank you. Is there a seconder? Thank you. It has been moved and seconded that the minutes of the annual meeting of shareholders held on April 27, 2012 be dispensed with. Is there any discussion? All in favor? Opposed? I declare the resolution carried. You have all received copies of the annual report, including the audited financial statements and the auditor's report thereon, for the years ended December 31st, 2011 and December 31st, 2012. In view of the fact that all shareholders have received a copy of the annual report and the auditor's report with the approval of the meeting, I am prepared to dispense with the reading of the auditor's report. Seconder? Thank you. Is there any discussion? All in favor? Any opposed? No? I declare the resolution carried. Am I reading too fast for anyone? Am I reading too slow? Can go faster. The financial statements for 2011 and 12 fiscal years are included in the annual report and have now been received by this meeting. And I think we'll take, ideally I will take questions for this after I've sat down and Greg's done his presentation. I shall now entertain a motion from the floor for the reappointment of the auditors for the next ensuing year. May I have a seconder? Thank you. Is there any discussion? All those in favor? Opposed? I declare the resolution carried. Number of directors. Directors have passed a resolution fixing the number of directors at 9. I cut out the paragraph before, but I kind of got to the point. I shall now call for nominations to fill the 9 positions on the Board of Directors for the ensuing year or until their successors are elected or appointed. Okay, this motion does not require a seconder. Are there any other nominations from the floor? If there are no further nominations, I hereby declare the nominations closed. There are 9 nominees for election to the Board of Directors. I direct the Secretary of the meeting to cast a single ballot of the meeting for the election of those nominated. Okay, thank you. I hereby declare those nominated to be duly elected as directors of the corporation. Hold office until the next annual meeting of shareholders or until their successors are elected, subject to the corporation's bylaws. This concludes the formal part of the meeting. I think I'd like to turn it over now to Greg White, the CEO. He's going to give a presentation, and then Greg and I and any other member of Algoma staff are happy to answer any questions. Greg White.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would like to welcome shareholders, guests, and employees to Algoma Central Corporation's 54th Annual General Meeting. For those expecting another David Letterman-type monologue, I do apologize, as I do not have a top 10 list this year. Last year, in addition to strong financial results, I was able to point to significant fleet renewal, the acquisition of the Upper Lakes fleet, consolidation and restructuring of our domestic fleets, and an expanded credit facilities as major events that had reshaped the future of the corporation in a very positive way. As a follow-on to the 2011 events, I am using Charting a Course to the Future as the theme for my remarks today. Although not as game-changing as 2011, I have a number of highlights for 2012 that I feel are worth mentioning. We were advised in December 2012 that Algoma had been named as one of Canada's best managed companies for 2012. Canada's Best Managed Companies, the country's leading business awards program, recognizing excellence in Canadian-owned and managed companies, was established in 1993. Every year, the program, co-sponsored by Deloitte, CIBC, the National Post, and the Queen's School of Business, announces 50 winners from the hundreds of companies that compete for this designation in a vigorous and independent process that evaluates the caliber of their management abilities and practices. I would like to read my quote that was included in our February 26th press release. We are extremely pleased to be selected by the judges as one of Canada's best managed companies. Following a game-changing 2011, Algoma's shoreside and shipboard personnel came together with one vision, one purpose, and one team to drive the corporation forward to further successes in 2012. I am proud of the hard work and dedication of each and every one of our 2,000 employees. Without them, this award would not have been possible. Our goal and intention is to remain on our road of improvement and to continue to qualify as one of Canada's best in future years. Another recognition that we are very proud of is that we placed fifth in Marine Money Magazine's 2011 rankings of publicly traded shipping companies. Marine Money Magazine has produced its annual rankings of public shipping companies since 1991. The 2011 list includes 84 companies engaged in all aspects of marine shipping. The annual rankings, which are designed to measure the ability of a company to improve operating efficiencies and create shareholder value, are based on an average of measures, including total return to the shareholder, return on equity, return on assets, total asset turnover, and price-to-book ratio. In 2012, we undertook the four-satisfaction survey of our domestic shipping customers with the assistance of Innotech Market Research. This survey measured four main performance areas: marketing and sales support, vessel traffic and logistics, cargo operations, and administration. The key findings of the survey, which were consistent with three previous surveys, were that customers are very satisfied, we substantially outscored our competition, performance ratings are increasing, and customers are loyal. Although pleased with these results, we continue to use the feedback from these surveys to drive further improvements. Coincident with our 2012 third quarter earnings announcement, we also announced a cash dividend of 60 cents per share and a share split by way of a 9-for-1 stock dividend. I believe these two dividend announcements demonstrate the board's confidence in the strength and future of the corporation. The share split was done to make our shares more accessible to a broader group of retail investors. We have seen considerable interest in Algoma over the last couple of years and wanted to take steps to make an investment in our common shares affordable to smaller investors, including our employees. In a further effort to make Algoma shares accessible to our employees, we established an employee share purchase plan in 2012 that is available to all permanent employees. We introduced this plan with the goal of more closely connecting employees to the company and so that they could benefit from the success that they helped to create. The plan has been well received. In fact, we have many new employee shareholders in attendance today. Welcome and thank you for the confidence you have shown in Algoma. A few weeks ago, I had the pleasure, along with Algoma's executive team and our chairman, Duncan Jackman, of participating in the naming ceremony of the Algoma Equinox. The Algoma Equinox is the first of the 8 Equinox-class vessels being constructed at Nantong Mingdi Shipyard in Nantong, China. 6 of these vessels, 2 gearless and 4 self-unloaders, will be owned by the corporation. The other 2 gearless bulkers will be owned by the CWB, but managed as part of the Algoma domestic fleet. At this point in the project, steel cutting has taken place on all 8 vessels. Keels have been laid for 5 vessels, and the first vessel, the Algoma Equinox, was launched on December 24, 2012. And we have a short video of the launching. We can all enjoy it. Thank you. Before I turn the podium over to Peter Winkley, our CFO, I would like to highlight our Return on Capital Employed Improvement Plan. In 2012, we continued to refine and expand this plan. It now encompasses all 4 of our business segments with the goal to develop and implement strategies to increase the ROCE for existing assets to target levels. The key areas of focus for this plan continues to be cost control, incident reduction, minimize unproductive time, and improved asset utilization. We have seen many tangible positive outcomes from these initiatives, and our 2012 financial results are reflective. I will now ask Peter to come up and review our 2012 financials and our 2013 Q1 results, which were released earlier today.
Thank you, Greg. Before I turn to the financial results, I need to remind everyone that from time to time we do make forward-looking statements that are subject to risk and uncertainties, and I encourage you to be familiar with our disclosures of these in our financial filings. Also, I'd like to take a moment to remind everybody of the business segments that we group our businesses in for reporting purposes. Our largest business is the domestic dry bulk business, in which we own and operate the largest Canadian flag fleet of dry bulk carriers operating on the Great Lakes and St. Lawrence Seaway, which together we call the Waterway. Next up, product tankers, in which we operate the largest and most modern Canadian tanker fleet on the Waterway. In addition, this segment includes a single ocean tanker that participates in a large international pool. Next up, ocean shipping, which is our blue water dry bulk business. We own 2 ships directly and have a 50% interest in 4 other ships that operate as part of a large international pool. And finally, on land, we own and operate a portfolio of commercial real estate in Ontario, including our flagship property, the Station Mall in Sault Ste. Marie. I am going to draw your attention back to this slide later on when I talk about Q1 results. We're very pleased with our financial results for 2012, carrying on as they did from 2011. Since completing the strategically important acquisition of our partner in the domestic dry bulk business, which we call the ULG transaction, we have driven strong profitability improvements in that business segment. Segment earnings noted on this slide are after tax, and they exclude financing costs and certain foreign exchange items that we do not allocate to our segments. The after-tax earnings for 2012 were $59.8 million, which is an operating margin of 11% compared to 10% in 2011. I should point out that we've adjusted the 2011 earnings that you see on this slide to take into account the timing of the close of the ULG transaction and the impact that this has under accounting rules. Although our deal with our partner was made effective January 1, 2011, the accounting rules give effect to it as of the closing date, which was April 14th. Now, as you know, we make a substantial investment in maintenance during the winter season in the dry bulk business, and this, as this is when our ships are not operating. And under the accounting rules, our Q1 results for 2011 did not reflect our partner's 41% share in that investment. Therefore, to make the comparison meaningful year over year, we've adjusted on a pro forma basis the 2011 results to reflect those earnings as if we had incurred 100% of those costs for the year. Looking back over 6 years to the period before the 2009 recession, you can see the strong growth in the segment earnings and particularly the nearly tripling of our results since the 2010 low point. The shaded section of the 2011 column here illustrates the impact of the ULG transaction. I should also note that the figures for 2010 reflect a valuation provision on our international tanker, reflecting the significant downturn in that market that year. Excluding that non-cash provision, segment earnings for 2010 were $32 million, as illustrated here, and so comparing them to 2012, we've almost doubled earnings since that point. And finally, just to close the loop, this slide shows the impact of that pro forma ULG transaction adjustment on net earnings and earnings per share in 2011. Fiscal 2012 was negatively impacted by $3.2 million of adverse foreign exchange movement and by a higher tax expense than prior years. In fact, $5.6 million of the increase in tax expense relates to tax changes associated with the federal budget proposals in 2011 and the Ontario budget change in 2012. And taken together, the tax and foreign exchange changes affect or amount to $8.8 million. This slide shows the revenues over the last 6 years. We adopted international financial reporting standards in 2011 with retroactive effect to 2010. And of course, we also did the ULG transaction in 2011. And those two things together had some strange results on our reported revenues. Prior to 2010 and under former Canadian GAAP, we reported 100% of the revenues of our domestic dry bulk business. The blue column in the chart behind me shows revenues as we have actually reported them for financial purpose. For 2007 through 2009, these are the Canadian GAAP revenues. And for 2010 through 2012, the blue bar represents the IFRS amount. In that regard, you should note that 2010 and the beginning of 2011 include only 59% of our domestic dry bulk revenues. Therefore, I've added this shaded section to the top of those two blue columns to show 100% of the revenues from that business in order to make it an apple-to-apples comparison with both 2007 to 2009, as well as 2012 years in which we've reflected 100% of revenues from that business. Turning now to our segments. The domestic dry bulk revenues for 2012 were $35.6 million compared to $389.2 million in 2011. If we include the $13 million of revenues in the first quarter that we don't include for financial reporting purposes, that number is $402.5. The drop in revenue for the year incurred entirely in Q4, and a large portion of this relates to poor weather conditions in the fall and early winter. The domestic dry bulk segment earnings after tax are reported as $31.6 million for the year compared to $36.6 million reported for 2011. However, if we take into account the full impact of that first quarter operating loss, the segment loss for 2011 on a pro forma basis would be $21.5 million. So this 49% improvement in segment earnings is also very dramatic if viewed as a percentage of segment revenues. The segment net margin for 2012 was 8.4% compared to a pro forma 5.3% for 2011, and this reflects the significant operating efficiencies we have realized since closing the transaction. Revenues from product tankers for 2012 were $87.2 million, down slightly from $88.4 million in 2011. The decrease is attributable to planned dry dockings which occurred in 2012, although a favorable mix of business offset some of this impact. Fourth quarter revenues for product tankers were also lower than 2011, and this was mainly attributable to the weather conditions as well. We did have a ship out of service for mechanical reasons late in the quarter last year, but this had a smaller impact overall. Segment earnings were $9.3 million compared to $13.7 million for 2011, and this drop is mostly due to legal costs associated with our JZU arbitration. Turning now to ocean shipping, revenues from ocean shipping were $67.7 million compared to $75.1 million in 2011. This is largely a result of the timing of planned dry dockings, and this was particularly impactful in the fourth quarter. In addition, our joint venture sold one ship, the Ambassador, in the fourth quarter, which impacts our share of revenue from the international pool. That ship was planned for retirement in 2013 in any case, but we received an attractive offer a little bit early, and so we elected to take the ship from the pool to take advantage of that sale opportunity. After-tax earnings for the segment were $15 million compared to $15.5 million the year earlier, reflecting the strong results from the pool, and the gain on the sale of the Ambassador in the fall offset earnings that we would otherwise realize from operating that ship during the fourth quarter. Algoma Central Properties, which is our real estate segment, revenues there were unchanged at $30 million year over year. Higher occupancy in our Sault Ste. Marie properties were offset by some vacancies in Waterloo and St. Catharines. Segment after-tax earnings were down slightly year over year, primarily as a result of annualized depreciation on property improvements that we completed at the Station Mall during 2011. Greg mentioned that we look at adjusted return on capital employed, and we use this measure to track our performance year over year. This metric is simply the after-tax results of our business segments that I talked about earlier, divided by our adjusted capital employed. That's the sum of our long-term debt and average equity for the year, and we reduce that by excess cash and by ship deposits that are made on vessels under construction which aren't currently generating operating earnings. Our target adjusted return on capital employed is 10 to 12%, and as you can see behind me, we've achieved this result in four of the last 6 years, and in fact, the average return over this period is 10.6%. I should mention that the blue column for 2011 in this chart is actually based on the income reflecting the adjustment for the ULG transaction. So our own internal measure reflects that same pro forma adjustment. What you see behind me now is cash flow per share. So these solid operating results are very real and have led to continued strong cash flow from operations. As I said here, it's shown on a per share basis. Strong cash flow is critical for us as it provides the funds that we need to invest in improving the fleet. And it also enables the corporation to return something to the shareholders in the form of dividends. And paying a reasonable and reliable dividend is something we believe is important so that our shareholders share in the success of the company. Our strong operating results and exceptionally robust balance sheet have enabled us to increase our dividend three times in the past 18 months. In 2012, we increased it from 4.5% first to 5 cents a share on March 1st, which is an 11% increase, and then by a further 17% to 6% to 6 cents per share on September 1st. We increased it again by 12% on March 1st of this year, and the dividend now stands at 7 cents per quarter. I'm happy to report that the board this morning approved the dividend for June 1st at that same rate. And based on our current share price, that results in a yield for Algoma shares of approximately 2%. Now, I promised you I'd turn you back to this slide, and I need to explain, unfortunately, the accounting rules have once again changed. And if you recall our business segments, I identified earlier that we do a lot of our, or in fact all of our ocean shipping business through a commercial international pool, and we are an active managing participant in that pool. In 2012, we had an interest in seven vessels that operated in that pool. Two of those we owned directly, five of them we owned through our 50% joint venture, Marbulk Canada Inc. That is the joint venture that sold the Ambassador last year, so the current vessel count in that company is four. And if you sort of do the math, in 2012, we effectively had the operations of four and a half ships operating in that pool, and today we have four ships operating in that pool. In 2012, we reported those ships, we reported our two ships at 100%, and we reported 50% of the operating results of the other two ships, or the other five ships rather. Our P&L, our cash flows, and our balance sheet all reflected effectively four and a half ships. Under the new rules, although we continue to report our two directly owned ships that way, the four ships that we own an interest in through Marbulk are now reported as a passive investment. And so we show these as a one-line investment on our balance sheet, and we show one income line on our income statement. And it's entitled Income from a Joint Arrangement. But we don't manage the business this way, and things that happen in that pool affect our 100% ships and our 50% owned ships. So therefore, although our financial statements reflect the accounting in this manner, my comments to you later on and the comments in our MD&A talk about the overall business in order to help you understand the results better. So turning first to the consolidated results for Q1, we're pleased with the results for the first quarter. I do remind everybody that Q1 is not indicative of our results for the entire year because we do almost all of our maintenance in the domestic dry bulk fleet during the winter months, and we have only limited operations from that fleet. The results you see here reflect that. Now, revenues from the quarter are down from last year, and all of this is attributable to the domestic dry bulk segment, and I'll talk about that in a minute. Net loss and loss per share, on the other hand, are improved, and both of the domestic marine businesses contributed to that. Turning to domestic dry bulk, revenues were down for the quarter, and although, as I said, this is not necessarily reflective of expectations for the full year. Last year, as a result of strong customer demand and particularly a mild winter, we were able to operate ships throughout the first quarter. We weren't able to repeat this in 2013, and the regular operating season got off to a somewhat slower start, resulting in lower revenues. On the other hand, the traditional first quarter loss for the segment is down, and this reflects continued discipline on winter layup costs, as well as a small reduction in depreciation as some of our older ships were sold early last year. Product tankers had a very strong first quarter. Despite a mechanical failure that laid up one of the ships for part of the quarter and a regulatory dry docking of our international tanker, both revenues and segment operating earnings are up. We saw very strong customer demand this winter, leading to an increase in operating days. In addition, in 2012, we had more ships in regulatory dry docking than this year, and we also had begun to incur legal fees related to the arbitration. So here's my ocean dry bulking slide, and this is the one where I said there's going to be a difference in the number that I talk about and the number that we report externally. As I noted, we sold one of our international pool vessels late in 2012, and this had an impact on our overall share of revenues from the pool this year and accordingly on our overall profits. Note the two line above for revenues. The top line shows our effective share of pool revenues. That is the amount of revenue earned by the pool that drives the income that we receive through our various ships. The number for 2012, $19 million, is the number that we actually reported last year, and the equivalent amount on that same line this year is the amount that we would have reported this year under the old rules. The second line, consolidated revenues under IFRS, reflect the amounts that are actually included in our income statement, and those amounts in 2013 and the restated amount for 2012 reflect only the revenues according or related to our two 100% owned ships. The bottom line, however, segment operating earnings, includes the operating earnings from those two ships, as well as our equity earnings in the share of the pool that's generated by our interest in the other four ships. That number is down from last year, and it's primarily because of the sale of the Ambassador, which would have obviously operated in the first quarter last year. But in addition, the first couple of months of this year had some fairly tough operating conditions, which also impacted net results for the pool. And finally, Algoma Properties for Q1. The winter of 2013 has turned out to be a fairly slow one for our Delta Hotel in Sault Ste. Marie, and occupancy rates are down significantly from 2012. This has affected both revenues and segment earnings. Otherwise, most of our properties are performing in line with expectations. Turn it back to Greg.
Thank you, Peter. You know, actually, this business is quite uncomplicated, but unfortunately, some external accounting bodies have made our numbers really hard to follow, and I do apologize for that. I'm now going to spend a few minutes looking forward in 2013 and beyond. Sustainability is a key defining element of our strategic vision. This vision, as stated in our message to shareholders, is continual long-term growth in shareholder value while operating in a sustainable manner and always being governed by our core values. In 2013, we will be highlighting our sustainability initiatives and achievements with the publication of our inaugural sustainability report. This report, which will replace our environmental report, will focus on our four main sustainability tenets of operations excellence, environmental responsibility, social responsibility, and corporate governance. It is expected to be released in late May and will highlight our significant sustainability accomplishments in 2012, as well as our future challenges and improvement initiatives. There has been a great deal of activity related to environmental issues in the marine industry over the last year, particularly in the areas of air emission and ballast water. Reducing air emissions and greenhouse gases is a priority at Algoma. We've been working with the Canadian government over the last 3 years to find a commercially acceptable way for the Canadian domestic fleet to achieve the reductions in sulfur oxide emissions that will be required to meet the North American Emission Control Area timelines. Canadian Shipowner Association members, including Algoma, took up this challenge and developed a unique plan to reduce sulfur oxide emissions using an alternative approach called fuel sulfur fleet averaging. This solution, now accepted and adopted by Transport Canada, will allow us to reduce emissions in a phased and a flexible approach while achieving the same or better environmental benefits than if we were governed by the U.S. EPA's regulation. As part of Algoma's plan, we will be installing exhaust gas scrubbers on all 8 Equinox-class vessels in order to achieve a commercially responsible and sustainable solution to reducing air emissions. In fact, these scrubbers will remove 97% of the sulfur oxide emissions from the vessel's main engines and auxiliary generators. The extensive work that was done on fleet averaging is also a great example of industry and government collaboration to achieve an innovative solution. Through a concerted effort by shipowners to educate regulators, we are seeing most jurisdictions converge around one ballast water treatment standard. And more importantly, some recognition of the unique barriers to ballast water treatment systems faced by vessels operating on the Great Lakes St. Lawrence Waterway. However, there are still issues. The recently released EPA Vessel General Permit will require a number of Algoma vessels to install treatment systems in the future. The U.S. domestic Great Lakes fleet, on the other hand, operates entirely west of Anticosti Island and is effectively exempt. These treatment systems, if and when they are developed for the Great Lakes, will be expensive and will create an unfair economic advantage for our U.S. competitors. In addition, the environmental benefits of this approach is yet to be defined. Canadian scientists state that no new aquatic, non-indigenous species have been detected in the Great Lakes since 2006. Clear evidence that mid-ocean ballast water exchange for ocean-going vessels is working to stop these introductions. We continue to have discussions with Transport Canada, who have yet to finalize the Canadian regulations. Our goal is to convince them, like the ECA regulations, a made in the Great Lakes solution is required. One that provides for the same regulatory regime for Canadian and American waters and provides for achievable risk-based regulations for ships operating on the Great Lakes St. Lawrence Waterway. The hearing relating to the corporation's cancellation of the 3 shipbuilding contracts took place in London, England in September 2012. On April 30th, the tribunal advised that they had found in favor of Algoma as we had rescinded the contracts according to their terms. Accordingly, we have now started the process to make a formal demand for the reimbursement of installment payments totaling $35.4 million U.S. We are extremely pleased and some of us extremely relieved with this long-awaited outcome, and on behalf of our chairman and board of directors, I would like to thank and commend all who were involved in this process. We expect to take delivery of the Algoma Equinox in early July in China, with the vessel entering Canadian service by the end of the summer. The balance of the vessels will follow through 2013 and 2014. We are very pleased with the quality of the workmanship at the shipyard, although we continue to push for an accelerated production schedule. The Equinox-class vessels, when delivered, will fully meet our stated objective of significantly improving the efficiency of our fleet while at the same time reducing our environmental footprint. We have seen a continual, albeit slow, economic recovery in North America, despite uncertainty throughout the rest of the world. As the North American economy is the key driver for many of our customers' activities, continual economic improvement should lead to higher utilization levels. In addition, our diversity in markets and customers served will help to mitigate any unforeseen adverse economic impacts. As stated earlier, our strategic vision is continual growth of long-term shareholder value while operating in a sustainable manner and always being governed by our core values. We are committed to this strategic vision and are confident the positive initiatives undertaken in 2011, 2012, and 2013 will lead to further growth in shareholder value. Thank you. Now, I will take questions now, if there are any from the floor, on our financial statements or anything else. Well, then I'll turn it over to our chairman, who's going to invite you all to lunch.
Okay. I'm going to give you guys one more chance to ask any questions. It looked like some of you were rustling around in your seats, waiting for someone else to be first. No? Okay. I'd like to thank all of you for coming, all of the shareholders, perhaps some bondholders. Are there any bondholders here? I'd like to thank all the employees, and I see lots of people that have helped us along the way. I see some of our banker friends over there, some of our legal advisors, some of our engineering people, but I just want to thank particularly Greg and the senior team. You've done a great job. The past couple of years have been by far the most exciting in this company's history, and for the shareholders who have been through the piece, I think it's worked out well for everyone so far, and hopefully for the next couple of years as well. I'd like to invite you all to lunch. Can I have a motion to terminate this meeting? Seconder. Thank you. I'll see you. Is lunch this way or this way? Thank you again for coming.